Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Have you ever felt a cool summer breeze? Yeah. Have you ever tried to fulfill a want or a need? Brother, from birth to death, sometimes you never get a chance to get your breath. Work hard, brother, to save. Control. It's a struggle, brother. Heart and soul, a struggle, brother. To come out of the cold, a struggle, brother.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for tonight's show of Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. This show is designed to provide our listening audience in an interactive conversation on effective parenting. This particular episode will focus on developing leadership skills in children, and our listeners are invited to bring questions as well as share their parenting experiences to the Learning Lab. With that, I'd like to bring to you your hosts for tonight's show, Mark Shaheed and Dr. Patricia Saluddin. As-salamu alaykum, Mark.
Alaykum as-salam to you, Rashid Salam, and to you, Dr. Patricia Saluddin, and to our very distinguished, esteemed radio listening audience here at IWDM Radio. And as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ila ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in an excellent salutation to prayers and peace be upon the Prophet. I am Mark Shaheen. I'm the host, facilitator, and producer, along with Dr. Patricia Sloan-Dean of the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that's heard each and every Wednesday here on IWDM Radio. And Dr. Sloan-Dean and I would like to welcome our radio listening audience tonight, those who have chimed in to the studio, and those who are listening by way of the internet. We're glad to have you on board. We want you to know that this, in fact, is your learning lab. So we do invite you to ask questions or to make comments on the information education that we try to disseminate each and every Wednesday here on IWDM Radio. And we ask that you bring an open mind and an open heart to this learning lab. And the only tools you'll need is a sharp pencil or an ink pen and plenty of notebook paper, because we believe that there's going to be some noteworthy things that can and will be said tonight. I want to apologize to the regular listening audience for last week, as it was not in our hands. Blog Talk Radio had problems and issues, and it lasted all throughout for almost close to a week, and so therefore many of our productions here on IWDM Radio was interrupted. But we said Alhamdulillah, and that means that the praise and the thanks belongs to God first and foremost. We're back on the air. And we want you to know that this learning lab does have a foundation, and it's three sources that we utilize. That's Al-Quran, the final revelation to all of humanity, and the life example of the Prophet in living the Quran. And last but not least, the tafsir, that is the clear explanation by our leader and teacher, Imam Warth Uddin Muhammad. That forms the foundation for this learning lab, as well as the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab here on IWDM Radio. Also, over the years, going all the way back to January 2017, we have established some staples on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. In defining parenting, we simply say it's very simplistic, but a very profound definition for parenting is that parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role and responsibility, not only for the mother. Let's dismiss that misnomer, misconception, perception, that is both the role and responsibility of the mother and the father in terms of these vital components that comprise the holistic human being in nurturing and cultivating. We also have established as a staple here is that both the mother and father, they're responsible for raising their children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities, first and foremost for themselves, then their family, and then their community. And we say, inshallah, and that phrase just simply means, God willing, that if, in fact, that we as parents understand our role and responsibility and obligation to our children, we're consciously aware of that, that some world leaders can and will emerge from that way of thinking. We also have established that it is Almighty God, Allah, the Most High, that is the first teacher for all of humanity. But once the child is born, Allah has grace the mother to be the first teacher and also the first leader, not only for our baby girls, but also for our baby boys. And it is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that has said that paradise lies at the foot of the mother. Many, many translations in regards to that, but it would be the mother that will be the one to provide the foundational knowledge, not only for our baby girls, but for our baby boys. And so with that being said, it has become traditional here on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab to always have an overview, and it seemed like eons since we've been on here, and we really miss our very distinguished, esteemed host, Dr. Patricia Sloan-Dean. Since the last time we talked to her, she's not only been here traveling in the country, but she's been out of the country making Umrah, visiting with her family, going to Anika. She's just been a world traveler, but we're so glad to have her back. And I'd like to extend the greetings of peace to my partner, Dr. Patricia Sloan-Dean. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Sloan-Dean, and welcome back to IWDM Radio, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Mark. Thank you for the welcome back, and I pray all is well. And how are you this evening?
Well, you know, I'm always amped up on Wednesday. I got amped up too fast last Wednesday, and the spark had to fade out once we realized that we didn't have any control, and looking forward to last week. But we said a praise, and the thanks belongs to God first and foremost, and bless us to be on back online here on IWDM Radio in the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And as you well know, and Rashid also, and many of you listening out there, if we ever going to make a change and get it right in the human society, it has to start with the first social institution, and that is the sacred institution of family life. Back to you, Dr. Sloan-Dean.
Thank you very much, Mark, and that is so true. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. To hear the entire episode from last week, please go to blogtalkradio.com and select Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. The resource we're using for the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is Parenting Skills based on the Quran and Sunnah by Ekram and Dr. Ekram and Dr. Muhammad Rida Bashir. The book can be purchased from Amana Book Publications, www.amana-publications.com, and also from Amazon. This overview of Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is summarizes the discussion on the topic of why parenting is so important. And this topic is not in the publication that we're using, but this is a topic that was used on August 2nd, 2023, and I advise you to go and listen to the entire episode. Brother Mark pointed out several factors based on the Quran and Sunnah that demonstrate the obligations and roles that parents play in child rearing. The pertinent points are, one, starting with Surah 95:18, verse 4, indeed we created human beings in the best mode, in the best form. Number two, the best form indicates that man is above all other creatures of creation. Number three, human beings are given the intellect, the aql, which is the Arabic term for the intellect, the ability to think. No other creature was given this ability. According to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, the intellect was the most beneficial thing given to mankind. Number four, according to Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, Allah created the intellect for the natural world, the universe, and he created the universe or the natural world for the intellect. The natural creation gives birth to the intellect. From natural creation, humans learn how to form human life and human society. And natural creation helps in teaching us to form family life. According to Prophet Muhammad, it is the parenting, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, it is the parenting approach and the environment that is provided by parents that makes the child otherwise grow away from the original self. It is the environment that separates the child from its original self. The self that recognizes the creator builds a relationship with the creator and the creation. Parents have the obligation to know the importance of their role in cultivating not only the physical, but the moral, emotional, rational, intellectual, social, and spiritual self of the child. To realize the potential of that, Allah has given them in their children, effective parents exhibit the following behaviors. Tawheed. Parents must understand Tawheed, the oneness of Allah, and establish it in their lives. Parents must acknowledge Allah as a first teacher and take the Quran and Allah's creation as sources for learning and to teach. Parents must recognize that the human being's sole purpose is to serve Allah alone. Parents must learn to develop healthy relationships with Allah, His servants, and His creation. Having these characteristics will enable parents to raise children who have these characteristics as well, inshallah. In conclusion, why is parenting important? Allah sends that life in its original nature, equipped with all it needs to successfully perform its function as a member of society. The parents, both mother and father, it is the parents, both mother and father, who raise the child. How the human being is raised by the parents will determine how well they develop within that original self. Parents must recognize their purpose in life and their obligations to the Creator to pass it on to their children. Thank you, Brother Mark. Back to you.
Alhamdulillah. And alhamdulillah, for those who don't know, that simply means that the praise and the thanks belongs to God first and foremost, always. And I want to thank Dr. Patricia Sloan-Dean, as always, doing an excellent job. In terms of giving a recap, the production that Allah blessed Rashid Salam and myself to do 2 weeks ago, as we were not on air last Wednesday. But as Dr. Patricia Sloan-Dean has said, please go back into the archives and you can retrieve the entirety of that production. Very, very important in terms of knowing and understanding the role and the responsibility of the parent and parenting. This is a big role of responsibility, and we never want to dismiss, the misnomers, the misconception and perception that this is the role and responsibility of the mother only. No, it is both the father and the mother. They both have that responsibility, as it takes two to produce new life, it takes the two to raise new life. And when there are fathers that are not fathers and missing in action, it leaves a void in the child's life. You can usually tell when there's a void that is there, you see, in the child's life. So it is both the mother and the father, and we use that acronym family. It is the father and mother inevitably loving you, and that inevitably loving you comprises so many different things in terms of what love really is and the role and responsibility that God has given to the mother and the father, and He has given each the provisions in which to perform that role that He has distinctively for each, and the part they are to play in nurturing and cultivating from infanthood to adulthood. So I want to just stop there. And tonight we have a very intriguing topic here, Dr. Patricia Sloan-Dean. We're looking at, I think it's chapter 26 there. I may be off understanding this particular topic that we have in terms of looking at how, in a vivid way, how is it that we actually bring and present consequences, illustrate consequences in a vivid way when we're raising and teaching our children. This is where they have to really learn that behavior there's consequences, if the consequences are good, you know, if the behavior is good, then the consequences will be good. If the behavior is bad, then there's bad consequences. And so I thought tonight, Dr. Salahuddin, I know that the Bashirs had in their book Parenting Skills based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet for various ages. And obviously these are older children. They just say maybe it's a pubescence age, or I would say, in terms of illustrating consequences in a vivid way, they use hadiths, Sahih hadiths, from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But I thought that we would start with something from the Quran first, as Imam Muhammad said. We should always begin with something from the Quran. And it just dawned on me in just meditation that we have something right at the beginning after Al-Fatiha, which is the opening surah of the Quran, in terms of Allah illustrating consequences in a vivid way in Surah Al-Baqarah. So at this time, if you would, Dr. Salahuddin, let's read to the radio listening audience how Allah gives us a vivid description of those persons, you know, that actually have good consequences, and then those persons that have bad consequences, depending on their behavior. Dr. Salahuddin?
Okay. Thank you, Brother Mark. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This divine right, let there be no doubt about it, is meant to be a guidance for all good God conscious who believe in the existence that which is beyond the reach of human perception, and are constant in prayer and spend in others out of what we provide for them as sustenance, and who believe in that which has been restored from on high upon them, upon thee, O Prophet, as well as in that which was restored before thy time. For it is they who in their innermost certain of the life to come. It is they who follow the guidance which comes from their sustainer, and it is they who shall attain to a happy state. Behold, as for those who are bent on denying the truth, it is all one to them whether thou warnest them or dost not warn them. They will not believe. God has sealed their hearts and their hearing, and over their eyes is a veil, and awesome suffering awaits them. And there are people who say, we do believe in God and the last day, but while they do not really believe, they would deceive God and those who have attained to faith, but while they deceive none but themselves and perceive it not. In their hearts is disease, and so God lets their disease increase, and grievous suffering awaits them because of their persistent lying.
Salakallah. I'm thinking that that's the end where we want to stop.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. No, thank you so much, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin. The reason I wanted to use this from the Quran to illustrate consequences in a vivid way, and we want to look at the word vivid, vivid being something that is very, very clear, very distinctive, very realistic. And so there's nothing more realistic than God's word of revelation. This is why when we read the Quran, whatever it is that we read, whether it's one ayat, two, three, four, or more ayats, whatever it is that Allah says, we say sadaqa Allah uthin. That means the best sadaqa, which is linked to sadiq in terms of truth, the truth, the reality, al-haq, the truth, the reality. It comes from Allah in the natural creation and also revelation. But this begins in Surah Baqarah in answering in Al-Fatiha, Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim. We are asking Allah for guidance on the straight path, So when we look at that, Allah, first and foremost, after Aleph Lam Mim, he begins by saying that is the book. I'm paraphrasing what it was that Dr. Patricia Slaudin actually gave from the translation by Muhammad Asad, one of my favorite translators, in that. That is the book, and it is guidance, sure, without doubt. This is actually answering Al-Fatiha in the request, the asking in Al-Fatiha for guidance along the straight path. And then Allah says, in terms of who this is for, first and foremost, he says, those who are conscious, regardful of him. That's taqwa. Those who have taqwa, they're conscious, regardful of him. And then believe in the unseen, that which you cannot see. You cannot see Allah with your senses. You cannot see Allah. But who believe in the unseen, okay? And then those who establish regular prayer, okay? So that's the third thing. Fourth thing is, and spend out of that which it is that we have provided you with. That's the fourth thing. The fifth thing is that we believe in what was sent to thee. To thee is Prophet Muhammad, the final prophet, the finality of the prophets, okay? And that which was sent before thee, that was sent before, that's the Torah, Old Testament, and the Injil, the New Testament. Okay, so that's another qualifier. And then after we have those two things, then it becomes an assurance that they will be the ones in terms of the hereafter, sometimes referred to as general of the paradise. And those are the ones that Allah said is on right guidance. And actually saying that they would be the ones that be victorious. You see? So at the end, in terms of doing all of those things, when we talk about the illustration of consequences in a vivid way, all of these things, you understand, we can actually do. The human being has the ability, the capacity to be able to do those things. And then at the end, there's a reward for those, you understand, that accept to be guided. Everybody does not accept to be guided. Everybody don't want to be guided. Some people just want to just do what they do. And so those, now it gets to those, but those are those who, whether you warn them or you warn them not, it don't matter. In other words, the admonition in terms of warning them, and this is what prophets and messengers do. They bring, you understand, good news to the believers, and then they warn those who are disbelievers. So the message is twofold, and it depends on who we are and what type of mindset and behavior that we have established. You see, this is very, very important. So whether you want them not, it don't make a difference, because Allah has said the first of the consequences in rejecting his message is that the heart is sealed. What does that mean? It means they're sealed in terms of being sensitive, having a sensitivity. Don't have the same sensitivity as the heart that wants to be guided. It doesn't have the pure intention nor motivation. So if the heart is sealed, Allah says also, what's another consequence? The other consequence is that the hearing is sealed. I'm not listening to you, Allah. I'm listening to my own mind, as we say, our own mind. And, though, you know, we also see that sometimes in those who try to help others. You know, back years ago, I don't think they still do it, but they used to say, talk to the hand. Talk to the hand. In other words, don't try to talk to me. Don't try to tell me anything because I'm not listening to you. And now I'm trying to hear you. And we know the hand was created for another function that is emblematic of our deeds and actions. But the ears, as we use the Islamic terminology, Ishta Jabu, that we should not only hear, but we should listen to Allah and respond and respond swiftly to what God is saying to us, if in fact we want guidance. But for those who reject, whether you want them or you want them not, the hearing is sealed. So they can't hear God's word. When you reject, heart is sealed, ears are sealed, and then Allah, the other consequence, say, and blinders are put on the eyes. And this is a sign that you won't be able to conceptualize nor have the perception to be able to see. And this goes to that those persons won't be able to touch the book or the book won't be able to touch them. We're not talking about physical touch here, but we're talking about touch. Oh, that really touched me. Those who read the Quran and they get nothing from it, that means that their heart has been sealed. Their ears have been sealed, and they have blinders on. Nothing comes from that. There's no sensitivity. There's no motivation that's there. These are direct consequences, and then it goes on to say they tried to deceive Allah and the believers, but they only deceived themselves. So here's another consequence. You know, when you think you know, but you don't know, you're deceived, and you're only deceiving your own self. What self? The better self that Allah created. And then, to top it all off, Allah says that for these type of person, there's a dis-ease. You notice that word dis-ease is a sickness. It's an illness, a dis-ease in the heart. And the longer we ignore God and stay ignorant in terms of that, and we do it willfully, then Allah says he increases the disease. And then we can tell in terms of that. We have to, as parents, begin to teach our children from the Quran. And that's why I thought that we would begin with that and then have Dr. Patricia Saladin to read from this outstanding publication, Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet, illustrating practical applications for various ages. And so this is kind of like a foundation that it is that we should look for when we actually are trying to illustrate consequences. And there's some good examples, inshallah, we'll get to them tonight, whereas you can see in real life, this is how it is that we as parents should teach our children. But teaching them from the Quran and giving them this description as Allah describes it, we can see for good behavior, wanting to have Allah in your life and to be guided by Allah, there's good consequences that come to you. And also the destiny that we are seeking, which is that of Jannah, a paradise, you see. But whether you warn them or warn them not, they reject it. These are the things, the bad consequences that come to you. Now, if that's not a vivid description in return in regards to that, I don't know what is. I'll stop there, Dr. Patricia Saladin, and then give it back to you in terms of what it is that the Bashirs have said in regards to this outstanding topic tonight.
Okay, Brother Mark, thank you. Before I get started, I want to just give the audience a definition, just the definition of consequence. Consequence is the result of an action or a situation, a condition of having a lasting effect and importance. And so we can hear, I just wanted to put that in their minds because
yes.
as we listen to the ayats from the Quran and showing how the consequences, what the description of them are, and then also as we listen to the hadith that can be present in their mind. And the other
yes.
one, the other that there are two there according to fact, research, there are three types of consequences. There's a natural consequence, a logical consequence, and then problem-solving consequence. And
yes.
then when we talk about vivid is something that's producing a powerful feeling or a strong, clear image in the mind. So as we listen to these hadiths, and as we also have listened to the Quranic verses, we can actually see how vivid, you know, the feeling, get that feeling. Sometimes it makes you shudder, you know, when you read the description that Allah gives us as to what will happen to you when you don't do what I tell you to do. So I just wanted to share that with the audience.
Oh, excellent. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for giving that more clarity. Thank you.
Okay, so with the illustration, illustrate consequences in a vivid way, chapter 26, the prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, used to illustrate the consequences of bad deeds in a very vivid way. He did this to get the attention of Muslims and emphasize how bad the deeds were so that they would not commit them. The following are examples that illustrate this principle. Ibn Abbas, who reported that, may Allah be pleased with him, reported that the messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, said, a man who takes back his charity is like a dog who eats its own vomit. Now, that's vivid.
Ooh, very vivid. Repulsive, but very vivid.
Yes. So it goes on to say that Numan ibn Bashir, may God be pleased with him, narrated that the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said, the likeness of the man who remains passive in the prescribed crimes of Allah and the man who commits them are like the people who board a ship after casting lots. Some of them went to its lower deck and some to its upper deck. Those who are on its lower deck have to pass by those who are on the upper deck every time they want to bring water, and thus they have troubled those on the upper deck. They say, if we dug a hole in our part of the ship, the bottom, we would not have to go to the upper deck every time we need water. If those on the upper deck let them dig the hole, those on the lower deck would destroy everyone and also destroy themselves. If those on the upper deck prevented them from digging a hole, they would save everyone and save themselves. And this is from Bacala.
Yeah, so Dr. Patricia Svaldine, stop there. Give us some insight. When you read that, what is the outstanding message or stands out to you in this illustration of consequences being very, very vivid to you? How do you see that if, in fact, you know, as a parent or grandparent, you know, or mentor or someone that a family member is trying to illustrate a point in terms of consequences in a very vivid way? What comes to mind to you?
What comes to mind to me on this example is from this hadith is that when we see someone doing something wrong or doing something harmful,
mm-hmm.
it's not only harmful to them, but it's also harmful to the whole, the collective body. Whether it's the family, whether it's the community, it's harmful to the collective body. So
mm-hmm.
this example of the the people wanting to dig a hole in the bottom of the boat. I mean, everybody's on the boat. So if he digs a hole, if they dig a hole in the bottom of the boat, everyone suffers from that hole in the bottom of the boat. And that happens in our families sometimes. There's a person in the family who decided that they're going to do something that they want to do, and it's harmful. If the people in the family allows them to do that, not only is it harming the person, but it's going to harm the whole family. Sometimes, for instance, an older child, and to use the example all the time, that older child does something, the other children are watching. So if you let the older child get away what they should not do, the younger children are watching. And not only is it harmful to the older child, but it's also harmful to the younger children as well. And it's also to the family. So that's what comes to mind when I see that example, hear that example.
And, you know, it also, I think it has to be said, don't be selfish. You know, as a word tells, that word selfish means thinking extra low, finding individual success. Right? You know, you don't want to think extra low in terms of just being selfish, you know, in terms of it's just about me, because whatever it is you're going to do, and I think that's an excellent example, that is going to affect other people, family and other people. Could affect community and everything. So you don't want to do those type of things. So I just wanted to say that's excellent. Yes, please continue.
Okay, so in the next example is given by Ibn Abbas as well. He reported that the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, saw a person with a golden ring on his hand. He pulled it off and threw it away, saying, "One of you is bringing a piece of fire from hell and putting it on his hand." After Allah's messenger, peace and blessings be upon him, had left, someone said to the man, "Take your ring and derive benefit out of it." Whereupon the man replied, "I would never take it after Allah's messenger, peace and blessings be upon him, has thrown it away." The above example clearly show that the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, illustrated the consequences of bad deeds in a very vivid way, so that they would have a lasting impact on the companions and would stay alive in their minds. This way, he, peace and blessings be upon him, made sure that his companions strictly followed his instructions and guidance. Parents should try to use this principle with their teens rather than just telling them, "No, you can't do this," or "That is haram." Here are a few examples of how parents can apply this principle with their children. If a child becomes lazy and does not do his homework properly or complete his assigned task, his parents can sit down with him and discuss the issue in a quiet way, trying to convince him that it is important for his future that he work hard so he can be a person of value and be able to hold a job. After this, if his behavior is still not up to par, the parents can take him downtown and show him some of the homeless people on the street. Ask him if this is how he would like to live in the future. Tell him this might be what happens if he neglects his work and does not do what it takes to become a successful person.
That's excellent. Go ahead. I'm just only saying it's an excellent example of illustrating the consequences in a vivid a very vivid way. And I just noticed that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know that he was a teacher. He was a teacher. So, and following the example of the Prophet, you would teach first. You would teach your children first. You would try to reach them, you know, in terms of teaching them, you know, in terms of first and foremost instructions from the Quran. You would put it in a language that that would be digestible for them, understandable is what I'm saying, for them. And then if it would persist, now you have to up the ante in terms of a vivid way, very clear, very distinct way a very realistic way to show and to illustrate the consequences of those, you understand, that seemingly insignificant in terms of bad habit. I don't really want to study. I really don't want to do my homework. I just want to play video games. I just want to do what I want to do, but I'm not doing anything of consequence. And Allah says in the Quran, 53:39 in the Quran, the human being can only get what they consciously strive for, and then soon it would be made manifest. So we actually are showing those, our children, you understand, this is what the consequences are for those who started out doing just exactly what you're doing. And mm-hmm. this is where you see them just out in the street. They don't have very much. They're not trying to go anywhere. They're passing a bottle. They're passing a cigarette. They're passing reefer and all. And this happens each and every day. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say more. Go ahead with the other example.
Yes. Yes, the last example is if a young child refuses to brush her teeth, and this would be a younger child, parents should talk to her about it and try to convince her that it is important for her hygiene. If she still will not do it, the parents should let the child go with him or on errands and stop by a pharmacy to pick up a few things. The parent can make sure to stop in the aisle where dentures are displayed. The parent can let the child notice the dentures and explain to her that this is what happens to people who don't take care of their teeth. Their teeth rot and fall out, and then the people need to wear fake teeth that really hurt for the rest of their lives. And let me add this one. One of the things that we talk about consequences and then natural consequences. And the other one, that would be a logical one. You know, you take the child to the drugstore and let them see the dentures. But another one is the natural consequence. You know, sometimes you tell your children and you talk to them, and you even actually, you know, stand over them brushing their teeth, and sometimes they do it right and sometimes they don't. And when that natural consequence is that actual visit to the dentist, that's the natural consequence. When you visit that dentist, and your dentist says, oh, you have a cavity. Now, we got to deal with this cavity. That cavity, that dealing with the cavity is painful. It is a painful experience. You got to get your needle. You have to have an injection to numb your teeth, and that's painful, taking that needle. And then when they finish the drilling, you hear all of that drilling sound. You hear it all. And you may not feel much at that time. But then after they finish, then your mouth comes back alive, you are in pain. So that will be a natural consequence. Something that may be a vivid, it leave a vivid feeling in the child's mind that I may want to brush my teeth a little bit better, and I may want to be more do it frequently because I don't want I don't want this experience of having my cavities filled. Mm-hmm. So that was an example that I thought about.
That was excellent. you don't even have to get there because they start coming out one by one or sometimes two by two. You know, in that regard. So that's an excellent example. I want to say to those of you who just have tuned in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaughter-Dean and Mark Shaheed and Rashid Salam is doubling as our engineer tonight. And we're looking at, you know, in terms of consequences, illustrating consequences in a vivid way, a very distinct, very clear and vivid way, a very realistic way, identifiable, you know, by our children. In taking something, a topic we had earlier, as the Prophet Muhammad used to teach, in taking something that is known to our children and show them this is the consequences of maybe, say, being disobedient or, you know, not giving due regard to certain things. And so the consequences are this, you know, and if you do give the regard and the respect for those things that you should, then there are good consequences as a result. So a vivid picture, a vivid description, it seems to always work. Actually, my brother is a community activist, my youngest brother, Anthony Shaheed, and he have taken young people who are misguided and misdirected. He's taken them, you know, to the city jail, the workhouse, where they're incarcerated because they didn't and wouldn't listen. They didn't follow the rules and regulations of home, and then consequently they wouldn't follow the laws. And so this is where they end up. So I said a field trip, but it actually sometimes becomes a deterrent for many of our young people in what they're doing to see the consequences, the negative consequences as a result. So we're asking you to press 1 to share with us. I mean, maybe you learned a lesson as a child coming up, the consequences the hard way. In that regard, as Dr. Salahuddin just so vividly described the pain that comes in terms of even if you have had a cavity, and I know most of us have at some point in time, all the pain, you just dread going to the dentist. I know people that was just terrified, in fear. Oh, I got to have a tooth pulled. You know, I don't want to do this, but this thing has hurt me so bad, it's got to be extracted. So press 1, if you would, please, those who are listening. Or as parents, you know, what illustration did you give in terms of consequences in a vivid way to actually turn your child around in terms of their thinking in that regard? So please share with us, or if the information that Dr. Salahuddin and myself have shared this evening, if it has resonated with you, we want to hear from you. And those listening by way of the Internet, you got to call in to the studio. That number is 714-816-4673, and press 1. So we want you to press 1. This is your learning lab. Talk to us. Anything resonate with you? Does this make sense? What are we talking about? Press 1, if you would, please. And we're going to go to our engineer extraordinaire, Rashid Salam. Because, Rashid, if nobody else press 1, I know you always got something to say in terms of our topics here on parenting from the Reconstruction Learning Lab. Rashid?
Yes, sir. Well, nobody has pressed 1, and I'm pressing. This has been a super interesting program. I had so many thoughts going through my mind as you began to talk about, you know, when you start talking about consequences, you have to always remember that consequences, a bad decision happen when the environment that you live in is not proper. So it made me think about family, fathers and mothers having control of their own house and having rules and regulations that must be implemented. You know, and words paint a picture, but the picture should be the example that you set in your home where a child will not ever step outside those bounds. I said that to say this. My mother, if we were doing anything wrong, all she had to do was look at you. And you know good well, you didn't want to go any further with whatever you thought you wanted to do. Now, I ain't say do what you wanted to do. Thought about doing what you wanted to do. And it's just so exciting. Sometimes we just forget about what happened in the past. We carry all this baggage from these generational and historical traumas that we've experienced. And even as Muslims, we still carry that baggage if we have not dealt with them. So we try to make it possible our children don't go through what we went through, and that is a wrong interpretation of what life is all about. We don't get into conversations. We let this music, we let these computers, we let these telephones get in the way of how we function and how we think. But the bottom line is if you don't have control of your own household, and for whatever reason you don't do that, then the consequences are vivid. Your child is going to be where he's going to be. You can raise criminals in your own house, or you can raise geniuses in your own house. It all depends on how you lay the foundation for that guidance and put them on the right path.
Yes.
Swear the Quran, that guidance of the right path. Well, give them that picture.
Yes.
What does that mean? What does that really
yes.
mean? And have a conversation with your children about the universe, about the skies and the consequences and animals and things. We don't talk to our children, so they don't have any picture or any guideline to use, because we're not living that particular picture. We're not living those particular guidelines and rules and regulations in our own house. And I was just sitting here thinking and taking notes, but I just wanted to say that. Hopefully there was something I said could help someone. Salaam alaikum.
Alaikum as-salam. Then, Dr. Salaam Deen, I think Rashid Salaam said a mouthful, Dr. Salaam Deen.
Yes, he did. He sure did. He touched on a topic that I am so happy he touched on, and that is the consequences, developing a respect in the home for consequences.
Mm-hmm.
When your children are doing things that they shouldn't do, there should be consequences. There should be some type
mm-hmm.
of result happening, so they'll learn to respect consequences. So when they're respecting, as young people, young children respecting consequences in the home, when they get to the listening to the stories of the Quran and listening to the hadith of the life of the Prophet, they can respect this. I mean, they have an idea of what we're talking about here. So when you have the young ones, when they're working, when they're in the home, you know, you sit down and you talk to them about this is what we want you to do. This is the rules we want to follow. If you do not follow those rules, this is what happens.
Absolutely. You have another hand raised, Mark.
They get used to understanding that there are results of me doing X, Y, or Z, whether the results are positive or whether the results are negative. There are results. And the children
it's gonna be,
understand
there's going to be consequences, like we said, good or bad. We got a caller in right at the top of the hour here. So, Rashid, let's bring them on and see what they have on their mind. Caller, we only have about maybe, say, 1 minute for you to ask a question or make a comment.
Yes, sir. You have 214-493. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from.
Mark Ibn Shaheed. And I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. How are you, Dad?
Alaikum as-salam, son. I'm glad that
you tuned in.
You heard the topic tonight. What would you got a question or comment in terms of consequences?
I believe that consequences, they have to be laid out for your children, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, you know, and you were good at laying out consequences. We were kids growing up, so I mean that's important. And kids, when you put out those consequences, you have to follow up on them. If they do what they're not supposed to do, and you can't be always threatening. You have to go through with it. And you were pretty good at that, Daddy. Just wanted to let you know that.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much. I appreciate that, son. This is my son, Mark Ibn Shakur Shaheed, that's named after me, and I invited him to tune in and listen in. He once was a regular caller into the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, so at least I get an endorsement, because we actually had that topic that you do have to follow through, just like Mark Ibn just said. You have to follow. You can't just make idle threats because then you don't become believable. I mean, parents are like, I got mama sized up. I got daddy sized up. They ain't going to do anything. They're just talking. Well, you know, but you're sending a mismessage to them, you know, when you have to obey the law when they leave outside the house. You see, so you want them to reach.
And it's funny you say, because me and my brother were just talking about this the other day, the difference between you and mom and how it, you know, how it all came together. He's saying, if daddy said it, boy, you know what's going to happen. If he says it's going to get your butt.
But thank you so much, son. We ran at the top of the hour there, but thank you for calling in. And
no problem.
Love you. Assalamu alaikum.
I love you too. Walaikum assalam, dear.
All right. Oh, what a way. Dr. Salon Dean, we want to give you the last word, maybe a minute. What would you like to leave with the radio listeners? I think this has been a good topic tonight. Dr. Salon Dean.
I like to say that Brother Mark is a man of his word, and he leads by example. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So I don't know what we looking at next week. Are you able to say what we're looking at next week here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab or not?
Yes, we are on chapter 27, and we are looking at use a holistic approach.
A holistic approach, and so this is being connected to illustrating consequences in a very vivid way. You use a holistic approach, so you want to tune in next week to see what the holistic approach would be. It might not have been when I was raising my children up. I was always using the holistic approach, but we're going to find out from the Bashirs in terms of parenting skills based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. Want to thank our radio listening audience in this first hour for tuning in and listening to this timely topic. And special thanks to our beloved host, Dr. Patricia Slaudine. We're so happy to have her back, and she's sharing her insight and wisdom each and every Wednesday, except for the first Wednesday of the month. And we want to give you the greetings of peace, Dr. Patricia Slaudine. Until next week. Inshallah, God willing. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, that is the praise and thanks belongs to Allah. And we want you to stick and stay. Please don't go away. There's more to come. And the next hour would be the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, hosted by yours. Truly, we got an outstanding guest tonight, so you don't want to miss the Language King. He'll be joining us after this break, so please stick and stay. Don't stray away. Listen in. Rashid?
Community champions on the move. The Muhammad Ali Acts of Kindness Youth Day opposing violence and crime. Removing Frankenstein the last Saturday, September 30th, 2023. Georgia's Auditorium, Dillard University, Claude Brown and his dynamic band. 10 a.m., 12 noon, responsible leadership, Jeff Creer. Innovative media personality, Burkhard Turner, impeccable political achiever, and president of Community Champions on the Move, Habib Al-Salim, honoring 24th Outstanding Youth, hosted by Ismail Asra, director of Racial Justice, Dillard University. It's the Muhammad Ali 12-round character building knockout. Donors Melissa Tate, Glenn Singleton, and multiple sponsors. Leading our speakers list, Supreme Court Justice Piper Griffin and seven book author Sharif Nadir. It's that time as we partner with others for a safer and secure city. For more information, email jeff@wgso.com. It's the first, and it's free. Call 504-407-0913.
And we're back, and I am Mark Shaheed, and I want you to know that you've just tuned in to IWDM Radio, and now you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. And I always like to begin every production with Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. Shadu ilaha ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa shahadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed. I am the host of the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. that is heard each and every Wednesday night here on IWDM Radio. And would like to extend to our national and international audience the greetings of peace, the peace that only Almighty God Allah can give, that becomes an obligation on the giver as well as the recipient of that greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum. And we want those of you who tune in each and every Wednesday know I like to bring and present to you, our very distinguished radio listening audience here on IWDM Radio, very distinguished and esteemed members in our community, but also outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. No less today. I'm so honored to have back here on the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, someone that's not a stranger in the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad. He is a very, very profound teacher, a motivational speaker. He has a lot of experience in terms of working with our youth, our children. He also is a poet extraordinaire. He's a wordologist, none other than Habibala Saleem, the language king, my brother and friend. Welcome to the MGM Roundtable. Assalamu alaikum, Habibala Saleem.
Walaikum assalam, walaikum assalam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Thank you very much for all the work that you're doing, Brother Mark, and all those who are associated with you and what they're doing. And we never know which drop of rain is going to cause the biggest flood, you know what I'm saying? And that flood can be something that's very constructive or something very destructive. But it only takes a drop. Like I told the brothers, it only takes a second to go to hell. Some people think it takes a lifetime.
That's right. Alhamdulillah. Well, you know, it is my honor and pleasure to have you here on the MGM Roundtable. I know we got a lot of people that's listening in by way of the internet, or they actually have called into the studio here, and we want to say to our radio listening audience that we invite you to ask questions and make comments to our very distinguished guest, Habibala Saleem, the language king, here tonight. I have him on for a particular reason, but before, there's always somebody out there, Habibala Saleem, who don't haven't heard of you, even though we have most of the people that's listening in. I'm going to give you about 3 minutes, Habibala Saleem, to just kind of introduce yourself as to what it is that you really do, and then after you do that, then we're going to get into this outstanding production that Allah has blessed you with, the ingenuity, the creativity that's going to be coming up, inshallah, God willing, September the 30th, the last Saturday of the month, of the month, September, coming up in New Orleans, Louisiana. So once again, welcome to the MGM Roundtable, Habibala Saleem. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. I'm just so pleased and happy to know that you have a brother Rashid working with you. You have a strong pillar there, a strong pillar, brother. Yeah, there's no decay in his way.
Yeah, dynamic duo. That's what we are, the dynamic duo.
Yes, sir. Anyway, one of my main focuses, of course, to get our youngsters to value the fact that Allah is the guide for us to always seek. We should always seek His guidance. And that once we understand that we're connected firmly with our God, we have to have confidence that we ourselves are connected firmly with our Creator, you know. And once we have that confidence and know for sure, then we start departing to others that which we know is most beneficial to their life as well as to our own. So one of the things that I'm very much concerned about is getting youngsters to become scientists and surgeons of vocabulary. And to look behind the wall or behind the door. You know, Superman, what he was able to see on the other side of the wall. Yeah, he was able to see beyond just what was right in front of him. He saw beyond that. And so that was a message to us in terms of us being able to be firmly connected with Almighty Allah. It means that we're going to be able to see things that other people can't see because our connection is firm. And we know, as I always say, that once the refrigerator is disconnected from the surface or from the power or circuit of power, then everything inside that refrigerator starts going bad. So we want youngsters to be able to see beyond the surface and make sure that they don't become disconnected like the refrigerator when you unplug it. Because, like I said, there's a lot of people out here that's unplugged. And if you don't know how to identify them as being unplugged, then you might want to shoot them. You might want to stab them. You might want to hit them upside the head with a brick. But once you know that they're unplugged, then you could just be, you know, calm and relax and know that there's a way to help them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
Anyway, I just want to say it says education in America will focus and aim academically and socially to gain and maintain replenishing minds like seeds on a farm. No weapons in our schools, no weapons of harm. Parents and teachers doing what's needed. America's culture, not a student mistreated. Completing assignments, every chapter in the book. From all walks of life, not a student overlooked. Getting it done. Education number one, getting it done. Education number one. Freedom of priority, stand and bounds. Students graduating, caps and gowns. Achieving and achieving, the cream of the crop. Striving for greatness, refusing to stop. Schools for excellence, we happily engage. Embracing all the rules, the creator we praise. High standards and goals, never to decrease. Education in America for unity and peace. Getting it done, education number one.
I would say takbir, and for those who don't know, that means glorify God Allah, and that we say God is greater, bigger, and more important, and Allah has truly blessed this brother, you understand, to be a poet extraordinaire, and you see he has rhythm with that, and it's a message always in his poetic expressions. So let's get down to business here. Habib Allah Saleem, a language king and all, and just what you said in your opening, you've been true to this for many, many years as we've talked down through the years in terms of your love, your passion for mentoring our young people, for helping to give guidance and direction as a language king as you are. You know, you take words and you turn words into something. As we know, our beloved leader and teacher, scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Warthuddin Muhammad, he said that words make people. And it makes people, you know, what you see them do, it makes people. And that can be, there's always a duality there. There's a positive and there's a negative. So tonight, I invited you on, because it's outstanding production that you have, one of our legendary personalities that happened to be part of the community of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and then transitioned to the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, and that's the legendary boxing champion Muhammad Ali. And we know that he was very, very instrumental in a lot of young people's lives and when they actually took his title and didn't allow him to have a boxing license, he actually went across the country, and I remember us having him about three times here in the Gateway City where he lectured on colleges and universities, very profound lecture in terms of being inspirational and motivation as you are. Coming up September the 30th, 2023, there in New Orleans, Louisiana, we have the Muhammad Ali Acts of Kindness Youth Day, opposing violence and crime. Oh, man. Language Gang, when I heard you say that, I got really, really excited, and I got even more excited when you said that there's going to be 12 three-minute rounds you know, in honor and tribute to the legendary boxing champion, but how young people will be expressing and articulating, in particular, how do you oppose violence and crime? So please take us to when Allah inspired you. As we know, Allah has given you this gift of creativity and ingenuity. But when did Allah inspire you with that? Was it 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning or early in the morning, late at night? Talk to us, Language King, in terms of this here, because this is going to be an outstanding production. And when people talk about our young people, they're not doing anything. You have taken young people and helped them to see that they are somebody and that they can do something. Habib Allah Saleem?
That's the key. That's the key. People put, you know, special kind of T-shirts on. They wear jackets with different basketball teams and different baseball teams or hockey, whatever. They wear some kind of clothing to show to the world, you know, who they are connected with and who it is that they admire. And too often our youngsters are not put out there in the same manner or better than what they do with clothing. So our youngsters are far behind clothing when it comes to being exposed for their greatness. So anyway, when I saw an article in the Muslim Journal and I saw the people standing there, it was mostly, I'd say 99% was adults. And there was the children that needed to be in that picture or what have you was nowhere in sight. So I said, well, let me think of something. And it was about Muhammad Ali. And I said, oh, I know. And I thought about the Muhammad Ali Acts of Kindness Youth Day, opposing violence and crime, and acts of kindness. Do you know one of the greatest acts of kindness? I think it shocked the world. It shocked the world when Ali first did it, because I don't remember anybody else doing that other than Muhammad Ali. Maybe somebody else did it before he did. I'm sure they might have, because it's in your nature. But Ali didn't hesitate to tell the referee when he got his opponent hurt. When he got his opponent hurt, he hurried up and told the referee, stop the fight, stop the fight.
Yeah.
I can't hit him no more. I can't hurt him no more. Please stop it. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, what a great act of kindness was that. I know if somebody was beating on me like that, I was so happy that he would call the referee to stop the fight.
You know, I got a
referee to tell him the same thing.
Yeah, go ahead. The mercy, he was compassionate. And I remember one fighter by the name of Zorro Foley. He actually gave him opportunity, and I think Zorro Foley had something like between 10 and 12 children, as I recall, and he was a struggling journeyman fighter. He actually gave Zorro Foley an opportunity to make some money, his biggest payday, and he knew he had Zorro Foley beat. He refused to knock him out, and I remember him calling the referee, telling the referee to stop the fight. I don't want to hurt this man. This man is a family man. Continue on.
I'm going to do 12 rounds. 12 rounds. Each round is 3 minutes, and we're going to have the rounds dealing with character as it relates to becoming mature, productive citizens in our society, and our young people need to be a part of that in terms of our future leaders. And so what happens is that we have in our cities so much crime going on and what have you. And I said, there has to be a way that we can showcase our youngsters to the point that they never want to step out of bounds or not touch all the bases because there's so much to gain from staying in bounds and from touching all the bases. So we came up with the Muhammad Ali. What did Ali do in his lifetime that young people need to know about and embrace and engage so that they themselves will never be eager to make bad decisions or bad choices? And so the 12 rounds represents people like yourself, Mark, people who knew the history of Muhammad Ali, or they came up doing that. We want those people to represent the 12 rounds and share with our youngsters what they learned about the attitude and the behavior of Muhammad Ali that our youngsters, many of them, don't know about. and now we can share with them what that is and cause them to become, what you say, citizens who fight against crime and violence as opposed to promoting crime and violence. So we have 12 rounds. And like I said, we're going to honor 24 youngsters because of their outstanding behavior. We want to honor them. And we have 24 medallions, Muhammad Ali medallions, that we want to give to these youngsters.
I think that's fair, Allahu Akbar. Now, listen, let's start here for our radio listening audience, if you will. The itinerary, it's an outstanding itinerary that have been constructed by you and others that are helping and supporting this outstanding production that's going to be taking place in New Orleans, Louisiana. Let's give a kind of thumb sketch of what will be happening, and then we're going to look at each round, what we can look at each round from 1 to 12. And this is not a learning lab, you all, but I would advise you, so after he answers this, we're going to take a pause for the calls. After he answers this, we'll take a pause for the calls, and then when we come back, our radio listening audience will be ready to take down each round. These are 3-minute rounds. For those of you who don't know professional boxing, it's 3 minutes per round. Then they get a rest period. I think it's 2 minutes. And then they go back at it. And, Habib Allah Saleem, championship fights now are 12 rounds. But, of course, when Muhammad Ali was boxing, when he first started out, it was 15 rounds for the world heavyweight championship of the world. But it's 12 rounds here. So please give us an itinerary. What are we going to be looking at there, those who come for September the 30th? What is it going to look like? I know everything
First of all, they will be a part of what we call Community Champions on the Move. That's the name of our organization, Community Champions on the Move. And the word champion, it starts with a C and it ends with an N. C from the beginning all the way to the end, what it means to be a champion. So we got 12 rounds. And we want to start with the first round. It's called The Real Meaning of Acts of Kindness.
Before we get into that, let's take a pause for the calls before we get into that. I just want to kind of give the itinerary in terms of prayer, just blah, blah, blah. If there are any people that have been invited there that you can look forward to seeing, and then after the break, then we'll get into the rounds.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to ask you, as we take a pause for the calls, we're going to ask you our very valued Alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, and we are back. And those who just tuned in, you're listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable with your host, Mark Shaheed. And at the roundtable, our very distinguished, esteemed guest, the language king, Habib Allah Salim, has joined us. And excellent production is coming up in New Orleans, Louisiana, on September the 30th. And it will be highlighting the legendary boxing champion Muhammad Ali on Acts of Kindness Youth Day, opposing violence and crime. So those who just tuned in, we're just getting ready. I hope you got your paper and pen, as Habib Allah Salim is going to go round by round, and what's going to be given in these three-minute sessions in terms of opposing violence and crime. So please take note. Back to you, Habib Allah Salim. How does round one look?
You want to take the hands raised first, or you just want him to go ahead and proceed? We got a
couple
hands.
Okay. Okay, well, we got time. Habib Allah Salim, just hold up. We got people already raising their hand. Let's see what they got on their mind, and then we'll come back. And because I know most of you want to take down these rounds and all. So, Rashid Salam, who we have up first that want to greet our very distinguished, esteemed guest, Habib Allah Salim. No question or comment, please.
Yeah, we have 718-344. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
I think I know who that is.
Well, it's Brother Muhammad Mubarak from Fort Valley, Georgia.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Muhammad. Welcome to...
Alaikum assalam, brother.
You got a question, a comment for the language king here, Habib Allah Salim?
I don't have a question. I have some comments. I met him out in Tennessee some years ago when they had an anniversary for the school out there, a fundraiser. And, I mean, this brother do super work. And, you know, everything about him is genuine. None of his is artificial. The community should get behind that brother and support whatever he write.
That's right.
His poem, because his is, like, really what we need.
Yes, sir.
And to share with other people. I love this work and I love the brother. I'm glad I met him.
Alhamdulillah. I know he's glad he met you too. Thank you so much for calling in IWDM Radio and the MGM Roundtable. Don't be no stranger. Tune in. These are the type of guests that we have each and every week on the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. Is designed to highlight those persons or movers and shakers such as Habib Allah Salim is and has been for many, many years and still on the case, on the job. Thank you so much, Brother Muhammad, for chiming in. Press 1 as you go out so we keep the studio clear. Rashid Salam.
I want to ask, can I get it?
Could you get what now?
Habib Allah's phone number, or is he going
to
share information?
Oh, okay. Habib Allah, do you want to give it?
Yeah, let me give it. I can give the number right now.
Go ahead.
504-407-0913. That's 504-407-0913.
0913. 504-407-0913.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, for calling in. Please continue to listen, because he's getting ready to drop some jewels here in a few minutes.
Alhamdulillah.
Press 1, Brother Muhammad, as you exit.
Don't always be commenting, but you know my wife be on, Sister Hajj Lava. Okay, that's
alaikum. Alaikum assalam. Okay, so mute him, Rashid, and press 1, Brother Muhammad, after you mute. Rashid Salam, any other hands in the air right now?
No, I think we got all the hands dropped at this point. The floor is yours. The mic is yours, my guest.
Okay, so Habib Allah Salim, so what would round 1 look like?
Round 1, as we said, it's called The real meaning of acts of kindness. The real meaning
So the real meaning of acts of kindness is round one. Now, Habib Al-Salim, who actually are youth are going to be giving this, or will it be other people that will be given insight in regards to that?
We're going to have people who are familiar with the history of Muhammad Ali.
Okay, I got you. I got you.
They will be doing each round. And when they talk about acts of kindness, they will bring their viewpoint to the surface as to what acts of kindness meant to them based upon having studied the life of Muhammad Ali.
All right. I love it. Okay,
pulling from the life of Muhammad Ali, what our youngsters should be pulling from and sharing with them what Ali did and how he did what he did that can benefit their life today.
Okay, so it's designed to be inspiration and motivation what the legendary boxing champion did. So, alhamdulillah. So, that's round one.
Round two.
What the acts of kindness actually really mean. Round two. Bing. Wait a minute. Holy Ghost.
The rewards.
Round two.
The rewards of self-restraint.
Oh, that's powerful there. The rewards of self-restraint. That's round two, you all. I'm hoping that you're getting inspired and motivated. May want to make that trip. That's round two. Round three.
Removing illiteracy with nutritional thrust. Removing illiteracy with nutritional thrust.
Oh, that's powerful.
Yeah, we can go back to how to eat to live.
Well, you know, removing illiteracy, so actually I'm taking it that we're talking about more than just the physical food for the physical body, but we're also talking about the mental and also the spiritual food if, in fact, that we are trying to be healthy in that regard. So that's round three. Round four. The essence and influence of compassion. All powerful. The essence and influence of compassion. Boy, you know, that really, to me, really spells how human being or being human, the essence of passion in that regard and compassion, because if a person don't have compassion, they would, and some animals show that, actually. So that's a powerful one. That's round four. Okay, can we get round five and some more? Round five,
training for victory, discipline, and commitment.
Training for victory, discipline, and commitment. Oh, my God.
Yes, sir.
That's powerful. Training for victory, discipline,
and commitment.
Now, you know, Habib Al-Salim, down through the years, you and I always have conversation. And, you know, as a wordologist, I look at the word discipline. It is that the acronym I like to use all the time, Habib Allah, is that it definitely influences successful changes. It improves people's lives in new endeavors. So that is so very important that if we are actually going to achieve anything really in life as the legendary boxing champion, we have to have discipline. And we have to be committed, because only through accomplishments and achievements come through the door of commitment, and it requires discipline. Because if you don't have discipline, especially if you're a professional boxer or any competitor in any sport or just a competitor in life, it's needed and necessary. And we saw that in the legendary Muhammad Ali. So I'm thinking, was that round four? Are we at round five? Come alive.
We're coming to round six now.
Round six. What's round six?
Overcoming disappointment, anger, and doubt. Overcoming disappointment, anger, and doubt.
Wow. Wow. Okay, that's powerful there. That's powerful. That last word, doubt, anytime you doubt to yourself. And we know that the legendary boxing champion, Muhammad Ali, he never had any doubt going in the ring. His first world championship, everybody doubted him. The odds maker made Sonny Liston a heavy favorite. And we know what happened. The youngest heavyweight champions of all time, 22 years old, just became world champion. I'm the greatest of all time. You know, I'm so pretty. You know, so yeah, he was all he had confidence. He didn't have doubt because in the word doubt is out. Anyone that doubt, they're going to be out. And if you're in boxing, you could get knocked out. So that's number six. Number seven. What round?
Valuing the advice of our elders.
Valuing the voice of our elders?
Valuing the advice.
Oh, the advice of our elders. Oh, that's powerful. That's powerful.
The advice of our elders.
Yeah, you know, those that don't know, this was part of Africa in many of the tribes. They valued the advice of the elders. They showed the respect. Matter of fact, I remember years ago, I used to go to a place where they had Afrocentricity. And what they would do, they would have productions, good food, and all Caribbean-type food. But they also, the younger people that in spoken word, they would ask the permission from the elders to speak. So, if valuing the advice of our elders, so very, very, very important, and I can see why that's round number seven. Round number eight, what are we looking like, Habib Al-Hassani?
Round number eight, the impact of being human. The impact of being human.
The impact of being human.
Human.
The impact of being human. You know, in biblical scripture, being human is the crown of creation. And, you know, we're a special creation in being human. I just think, I was a boy, I don't know about you, people. I used to think about, what if I wasn't human, what would I want to be? You know, I had a hard time making up my mind. And it was only because, you understand, this is the highest form of creation in terms of what it is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, that Allah revealed to him the most useful and most beneficial thing was the human intellect, the human intellect. So Allah has given us, to be able, the freedom to choose, to think freely, think for ourselves, but the human free will, limited free will, to make choices in our life. Nothing else in creation has been given that ability. So that's number eight. That's round eight.
Round nine coming up. Here we go. Women and their nurturing nature. Women and their nurturing nature.
Powerful, powerful, powerful. And, you know, I know this is well thought out because we know that nine is, you know, generally speaking, the mother cares the child for 9 months, you know, in terms of the maturation generally is 9 months. And they nurturing nature. You know, as a wordologist, that word mother, making our true human experience real. You know, our mothers help bring us from the world of fantasy into the world of reality. So I love that, you know. Alhamdulillah. And that's number nine. We got to win. It's round 10. What do you say about that?
Embracing differences for unity and peace.
Embracing differences
for unity and peace.
Oh, man. Oh, boy, is that powerful for our young people. You know how people are, Salim, embracing differences. You know, we can go to the Quran in regards to that, where Allah says he has made us into different nations and tribes that we may get to know and become acquainted with each other. I mean, this is very important to embrace differences. This is how the human being actually learn from each other. Different cultures, you don't want to fight or oppose somebody because they're different. If, in fact, we're studying the Quran in terms of revelation, Allah reveals why he made us into different nations, why he reveals he made us into different tribes, and different cultures come about that we may be able to experience things from others that Allah has created in other parts of the world. So we want to do that. We don't want to try to establish a superiority. And in that same ayat, which is 49:13 of the Quran, Allah says that the most honored in his eyesight is the one that's most consciously regardful of him. So our young people, if they really want to distinguish themselves, this is what it is they have to do. They want to be in accordance with God's revelation that the most honored in God's sight is the one that's most conscious, regardful of his word, his will, and his way that he wants us to live. Okay, so we at 11, going to heaven.
Here. 11, respect for self, family, community, and law enforcement.
Oh, that's powerful. Respect yourself, your family, your community, and law enforcement. And, you know, I love that, Habib Allah Saleem, where you start with self. You know, I used to teach my children the first form of self is self-respect. And respect is a two-way street. If you respect yourself, then you will respect others and the ones that's most immediately close to you and around you in that second womb would be your family. And then when you go outside of the family, there are other families in the neighborhood, and neighborhoods comprise community, or like we have a community, a religious, a brotherhood, sisterhood, community you respect. And that last, in terms of respect, is law enforcement. This can save lives, and we have to respect the rules and regulations as we just left the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab in terms of abiding by the rules and regulations in the first social unit, which is the sacred institution of family. Now this prepares us to be able to respect law enforcement. And we know Aretha Franklin said, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. But for Mark Shahid, as a wordologist, it actually is actually saying, really in terms of a relationship evolve, showing patience, showing ethics, showing communication, and showing thoughtfulness. When the relationship evolves in terms of that and showing patience, ethics, communication skills, and thoughtfulness, this is true respect. And so, the final round that's going to determine whether or not you're going to be a champion or not, round 12, what we have?
A society built upon faith, truth, and love.
A society built on faith, truth, and love. It said the world needs more love, sweet love. And, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I think he said it best. We must first and foremost know, if we want to fly, that acronym for fly is first learn yourself. That's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, you know, to learn yourself. And then when you learn yourself, then respect yourself, you see. And then when you respect yourself, you can love yourself, you can love others. You see, and then after that, then you can begin to do something for self. But those other qualities and characteristics are so very, very, very important. And then our young people, they have to grow up with those qualities and characteristics that's actually in them. And this is what Muhammad Ali actually did in his lifetime. He wasn't loved at the very beginning, but oh my God, afterward, and when people actually that didn't like him and they hated him, they grew to love him because he was a man of character and he stood for something. I think people always respect people, even though they may not have the same mindset that Muhammad Ali had, but they had to respect him because he was willing to sacrifice a part of his life, even in terms of incarceration, if was needed and necessary. This is excellent, Habib Ali Salim. You know,
I have a little piece here that you're going to love right quick. And
okay.
We're adding this to those 12 rounds. So before those 12 rounds, these things will be said. Round one, Ali was known to get it done. Round two, he knew exactly what to do. Round three, once again, Muhammad Ali. Round four, his opponent to the floor. Round five, Ali never took a dive. Round six, the creator, his number one pick. Round seven, uplifting young people, Susie and Kevin. Round eight, his service for others made him great. Round nine, his charity was courteous, honorable, and kind. Round 10, his purpose was to win. Round 11, may he continue to rest in heaven. And round 12, he taught us to be united while doing for ourselves.
Allah, I say takbir, Allah Akbar. And those who don't know, takbir just seen glorify God. And we say God is greater. God is bigger, and God is more important. And so when Ali said, I am the greatest, he was just talking about he was the greatest fighter, boxer of all time.
That's
and then he went out to prove it. He wasn't saying he was greater than God. He was a Muslim. So he knew, you understand, that God was greater, bigger, and more important. You know, I love that, you know. So we want to say to our radio listening audience, Habib Ali Salim, come on, this is your time. Yes, and if you listen by way of the Internet, you do have to call in. You got Habib Ali Salim, who's the language king, and Allah has blessed him with a special, special skill and talent in terms of the ingenuity, the creativity. Press 1. Dial in from the studio, to the studio. That's 714-816-4673. That's 714-816-4673. And press 1. Rashid Salam will let me know that you press 1 and you have a question or you have a comment or is this resonating with you. This is for our youth. This is for our youth. Muhammad Ali, Acts of Kindness, Youth Day. Opposing violence and crime. This is what is being instilled in our children to grow up, you understand, to not be partakers, but to be fighters, you know, in knocking out crime and violence in our neighborhoods and in our community. And, you understand, we say, inshallah, God willing, world leaders such as Muhammad Ali can and will emerge from that way
so
of thinking.
So we're looking for people to donate. We're looking for sponsors for this event. Right now, we have a meeting tomorrow, and then we're going to define exactly where you can write your checks or whatever you want to donate. We have Community Champions on the Move. That's the name of our organization,
Community Champions on the Move. That's the name of your organization, Community Champions on the Move.
On the Move.
I love it.
Whatever they can put on the bottom of the check, Community Champions on the Move. And the idea is a lot of people here, Christians, they say, Habib Ali, you need to be in every school. You need to get into these schools and talk to these youngsters about what you're doing and what you've been doing for years and share it with us. And one of the things they said, well, you know, there's been an absence of money in backing you and supporting you. When the brother came on and said, we need to back this brother. But that's one of the reasons that we're doing this program is to be able to me to be able to get into the schools and not have to worry about whether the school has the money or whatever, but they can you know, pay, I have money in the account. It'll be in the account. I can just go in and do something with these youngsters. So we have the treasurer, we have the secretary, and we have myself as a sponsor, and very dependable people. And we've been working on putting this thing together at Dillard University, which is a big university, and we've gotten a lot of cooperation from the president of the university, and also the criminal justice department. They're the ones that's stepping to the plate and saying, you can have this on our campus. We want this on our campus. And he's a Muslim.
So now, once again, slow down a little bit, Habib Al-Tamim, and let the radio listening audience know where this is going to be held at, that you already have a place. You just need to get the information in terms of where they can send it. And inshallah, maybe even
so
tomorrow.
If they call me at this number, same number, 504-407-0913. I can give them more information because we have a very special meeting tomorrow, and it's going to define a lot of details that public would want to know about. So it's 504-407-0913. One more time, 504-407-0913. That's Habib Al-Salim, and I am the president of Community Champions on the Move.
Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah. Okay, Rashid Salam, do we have some hands in the air? I know somebody got a question or comment. If they heard this brother, they know this brother, you know, they got an opportunity to just call up, press one and give them the greetings or what. Mm-hmm. And I'll be remiss if I don't send something to support. It doesn't matter whether it's big, small, they'll take it all. This brother's been working years and years, and I have known him working with youth as a mentor, as a motivational speaker, inspiring young people, helping to cultivate, to stimulate, to activate what the real MBA is. That's the natural born ability Allah has put into them. So we have to, as a community, we're obligated. We're obligated. What do you mean you're obligated, Shaheed? You're obligated to enjoying it, all this good, meaning that you have to support all this good. I don't think that any donation is too small, and you most certainly, you know, can't get one too big. Allah's the best knower. But send something. If you can't be there, then show the support by sending what you can, because we want him to continue on working. You can hear the enthusiasm in Habib Al-Salim's voice. I mean, Habib Allah, you mind telling the radio listening audience your age, or you want to keep it a secret all over again?
Well, I can't keep it a secret because Allah knows. Allah knows. I can't keep it a secret.
Go ahead, brother Habib Allah.
At age 82. And I want to just say this.
82 years old, y'all. 82 years old, and he ain't slowing down. Ain't no grass growing under Habib Al-Salim's feet. So let's make sure that we contact him and everything. Send him whatever you can and everything. It's going to be put to a worthy cause.
Yeah.
I like this here, the ingenuity.
And look, the donation can be words of encouragement. You know, words of encouragement. That some people can't give no money or whatever. Words of encouragement. And I like the word word. Word, the word word is talking about discipline. Do you know that in the word word is R-O-D, the rod? They say you spare the rod, you spoil the child. So R-O-D is in the word word. And also row, R-O-W. What row are you in? Boy, get back in line. You're in the wrong row. Get in your seat. You're in the wrong row. So it's all about discipline. The word word is talking about discipline.
Yes, yes. Let's go to Rashid's mom. Rashid, we got hands raised.
We got two hands raised, and one of the hands is a big surprise. So I want to get the first one.
Let's see what they got on their mind here.
Yeah, 713-972, please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. My name is Arisha Armstrong, and I live in San Antonio, Texas, and Imam Omar Shakir is my email.
Alaikum assalam. Mm-hmm. Welcome to IWDM Radio, and welcome to the MGM Roundtable. You have a question or comment for our distinguished esteemed guest, Brother Celine?
Yes, sir. I really enjoyed it. It's my first time coming on in the evening time. I was cooking dinner, and someone told me, hey, National Way is going to be on, but that's tomorrow night. But I'm like, that's okay. I want to hear what they're talking about tonight. And I really enjoyed it. And I just wanted to share the transcript of the information that was shared.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. For, like I said, the compliments are very important. Yes.
But what was the name again?
I don't have a big head, but I do accept compliments.
Well, sister, once again, can you give your name once again? And this is your first time listening and calling in, and we want you to always, all the hosts here, we have some outstanding productions, stay to the end, and I'll give the other productions, Rashid Salam. He's engineering tonight, but he has an outstanding production each and every Tuesday that he and Instructor Abdul Shaheed, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab, and we'll give those other productions so that you can tune in and call in just like you did with if something's resonating or asking questions or making statements. So once again, your name again?
My name is Arlisha Armstrong. I'm from Houston, Texas, but I live in San Antonio now.
Okay, Sister Anisha. Okay. So thank you so much for listening in and pressing one and just letting Habibullah Salim, the language king, know that you really, really appreciate what he gave today and just continue listening to IWDM Radio. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum. Press one, after you're muted, press one that completes the process, then you'll be out of the queue. Rashid Salam, anybody else with their hands up?
Yes, sir. I have an announcement to make. You know, I've been knowing this brother a long time, and we go way back. I gave him that title, the Language King. But I just want to let you know.
You did. And it's ringing real strong, Rashid, real strong. Ringing that name, bro.
Hey, I got a surprise. When he called me and told me he was doing this event, you know, I knew he was going to pull it together because he had the school backing him up. But let me just share with you what you have already done. In four cities right now, we will continue doing the same program in St. Louis, Missouri, under the Be a Champion Foundation. Harris Teaching Stowe College is the place we're going to do it, which is a historic black college. Atlanta under the Redemption Project, can't wait till you pull this one off so they can pull up what they're going to do. You have Chicago, Illinois, Dallas, Texas, and each round in each one of these cities will be sponsored by a corporation or an organization within the community. So I just want to let you know. He know I'm on his advisory board, so I've been doing my due diligence while he's been trying to pull this together. But four cities have already committed to bringing the acts of kindness concept. And all these things we're talking about,
Atlanta, Chicago, and Dallas, Texas.
Atlanta, Georgia, St. Louis, Missouri, Chicago, Illinois, and Dallas, Texas. We ready to go. Black Wall Street, Heart of Texas, and Dallas. Can't wait till you get there. I've been sharing all this with them, and I know you need to get this off the ground in New Orleans. We'll get to that when you have your meeting tomorrow. So what kind of help I can bring to the table?
And you know, Rashid, I want you to make mention that I will be going to Delaware. Newark, Delaware, and early September, and I will be speaking at 10 different masjids.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
10 different masjids. They want me to come and have some words with them about what I'm doing.
All right. I just want to let you know that, my brother. I want to surprise you with it. I didn't want to just tell you personally. I want to tell everybody who's listening that this is getting ready to happen, and inshallah. Well, whatever you need me to do in New Orleans, I'm going to do my best to get there. But whatever you need for me to help you in the fundraising aspect, you know I'm there for you, my brother. You and your brother Turner can call me anytime. All right.
I will be able to make this report back at our meeting tomorrow and let
yes,
them
sir.
Know what you just told me. And also, I need you, Rashid, to help put a beautiful article in Muslim Journal concerning this event that's coming up. I really like to get your input in on it.
Oh, okay. Yes, sir. Well, you're the man on the Muslim Journal.
Yeah, well,
we can talk about that.
I'm the man.
We'll talk about that off air. you all. Let's talk about that off air, but it does need to be placed in the Muslim realm. And I'm quite sure that Professor Aisha K. Mustafa would really want to give some space in there for this here, because I know her passion for our youth also. So, Habib Al-Azim, I know that's good news to and for you. And I do want to give you opportunity for some closing remarks you'd like to leave the radio listening audience with. But before that, I want to say to the radio listening audience that Habib Al-Azim, now you can't, this is a secret, so you can't tell the person that's going to be our special guest tomorrow on the Sister Learning Lab, which is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. My good brother and friend, one of our scholarly, very learned imams, who was a forerunner in teaching healthy, harmonious male and female relations many, many years. Most of the requests across the country that Imam Fahim Shuaib answered was for that particular reason. However, he is very, very learned in the religion of Al-Islam. So he and his beautiful wife, Yolanda Shuaib, have accepted by invitation as they just celebrated their 51st wedding anniversary, July 31st. And yes, Imam Fahim and Yolanda Shuaib will be Quran Shakir and my special guest tomorrow on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and they will be given their marriage narrative. And inshallah, we can kind of keep Fahim talking for a little bit, and he and Yolanda hopefully will give us some insight and some wisdom on the true love recipe, which will be to K3. K3 being kindness and keeping your word, and then kissing. So we'll see how far we can get with the Imam Fahim and Yolanda Shuaib. And if we can get him to give something on kindness, at least before he leaves, then this is what the plan is. We're going to bring the language king in. That's Habib Al-Azim. And he has a special poem on kindness. It's going to blow you away. We're not going to let him convey it tonight, but he's a special friend to Imam Fahim Shuaib. And I know it's going to be a pleasant surprise to he and Yolanda Shuaib tomorrow. So don't let him know. It's a secret. We got to keep it. We can do that, especially when it's good. That's what Allah says in the Quran. You know, secrets, if they are good, they can be kept.
Yeah.
You know, other than that, no secrets. So, alhamdulillah. So, Habib Al-Azim.
Yes, sir.
We want you to give us some insight, words of wisdom. What you like to leave the radio listening audience with tonight? I know you got to be feeling good. That good news that Rashid Salam just brought to you in regards to your appearance. And I know that you heard your PSA, you're the first one to get a PSA here.
Oh, man, that was awesome. I meant to say that. That was awesome.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Yeah, we went to work on that, and we contacted he texted Quran, I called Quran. So we want him to hear that tonight, not tomorrow, but tonight. And,
great job. The whole program, all the rounds that you guys were doing, I mean, it was awesome. So I just want to thank you and thank Allah much, and all of those that I have been learning from all these years, all of the brothers, sisters who have called in and who are listening and didn't call in, but they know who I am, I know who they are, and we know who we are. We represent the pilots and the co-pilots of the future.
Yes.
We're pilots and co-pilots of the future, and that's why it says, I use the term, if it wasn't for your attitude, it's gratitude. So, if it wasn't for your attitude, so that word gratitude, like I said, it has been a guide, G-U-I-D-E. So Allah said, let me guide you,
and then it will be a latitude for all of us.
Yes, alhamdulillah. I said that's beautiful, you know. So we want to thank you, and I want to just say how much I personally appreciate you and the work and the time, the effort, the contributions that you made over the years and you're still making. And we say, inshallah, God willing, that you have many more years to continue doing what you're doing. You haven't appeared to me that you slowed down one bit. Ain't no grass growing on your feet. Everybody pretty much knows about Celine.
You guys could get in touch with Sister Aisha that we really want to get this piece in the paper real strong, and just let her know you guys heard what it's about, and then I'm sure she's gonna get even more motivated because she didn't hear what you heard, but she will because I'm gonna do my best to get in touch with her.
Okay,
get the article ready.
That sounds like a plan. And everything. So we want you to know. I want you to say, to know, as the host of the MGM Roundtable here on IWDM Radio, you have an open invitation here on IWDM Radio and on the MGM Roundtable. Most certainly, in the near future, we're going to be inviting you back. We do want to give you opportunity one more time to give out your telephone number because you got an important meeting that's coming up tomorrow, and we want people to be able to get in touch with you. How you can send donations for this production on September the 30th. Remember, you know, the legendary boxing champion Muhammad Ali, most of us are familiar, that's been around, know the great contributions that he made, and is named after him, Muhammad Ali, Acts of Kindness.
Yes, so it's up, area code 504-407-0913, area code 504-407-0913.
And I'm going to make one request before you go, Habib Allah Saleem. You have a national anthem for us as a community. I know you don't have any music per se, but you're so rhythmic in whatever it is that you do. Are you at liberty to do that before we give you the greetings?
Amazing Art Schools will focus and aim the essence of learning to gain and maintain the best of students, improving every day, the spirit for excellence, paving the way, respect for our government, tremendous advice, economics in America, community life, parents and teachers doing what's needed, America's culture, not a student mistreated, no knives, no guns, no weapons of harm, replenishing minds like seeds on a farm, the best of academics, achieving the most, assisting one another, kindness as the host, getting it done, education number one. Getting it done, education number one. Completing assignments, every chapter in the book, from all walks of life, not a student overlooked. Freedom of priority, staying in bounds. Students graduating, caps and gowns. Achieving and achieving, the cream of the crop. Striving for greatness, refusing to stop. Schools for excellence, we happily engage, embracing all the rules the Creator we praise. In each of our schools, high standards and goals, education in America, courageously bold. Progress incredible, never to decrease, the greatness for excellence, for unity and peace. Getting it done, education number one. Getting it done, education number one. Getting it done, getting it done, getting it done. Education number one, the educational anthem for educational excellence. As-salamu alaykum.
Alhamdulillah. Takbir. Allah will act by God is greater, bigger, and more important. Thank you so much. I was getting my bounce on while you was doing that national anthem that we got. So thank you so much. Habib Allah Saleem, the language king. We will be in touch with you, and we will continue to play that PSA, the public service announcement. And you know, I'm gonna
send it around and let people hear it, and let people get in contact with us. And those who can come, fine. If not, like I say, just send something or just a kind word. Kind word. That's charity.
That's right. We're gonna do that. So remember, I'll be talking with you in terms of for tomorrow night. And we're going to plan a surprise for our good brother and friend and his wife, Imam Fahim and Yanda Shuaib, for tomorrow night. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum to you, Habib Allah Saleem. And there we have it. There we have it. Our special guest tonight, Habibullah Saleem, the Language King, joined us here on the MGM Roundtable. And we want you to know that the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio as tomorrow, Thursday. That means the Sister Learning Lab, that's the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, with our very distinguished, esteemed host, that is Karan Shakir. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And that begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And we are on K, that's K3, in the True Love Recipe. And we have as our special guest power couple, none other than Imam Fahim and Yolanda Shuaib. And they just celebrated their 51st anniversary, July 31st. And they will be here, and hopefully we can get them to stay long enough to participate in giving insight and wisdom on the True Love Recipe. So you don't want to miss that. And Friday is Salatul Jumu'ah Day, Muslim worldwide. Those who are immobilized can't get out and about. Yeah, you can come back to IWDM Radio with the email Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir. And it begins each and every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. The longest-running production here on IWDM Radio is hosted by the very distinguished, esteemed Imam Mikhail Sahir. Words make people. Heard that before? Well, you can find it right here on IWDM Radio. Each and every Sunday afternoon, it starts at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. The beginning of the week, my good brother and friend, the very distinguished, esteemed Imam, Imam Nazim Pasha. He hosts a production called ABC, like Al-Islam-based conversation. And we want it to be based conversation in Al-Islam. So we invite you, this is a quite new production here, about 2 months old, but we ask that you tune in each and every Monday. You're going to have a special topic, inshallah, this coming Monday, and it begins at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 5 p.m. Central and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. On Tuesday is the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam, that's engineering tonight. Yes, he has an outstanding production with his off-returning guest, instructor Abdul Shaheed, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. Now, this is a learning lab. You just can't come just without your tools, which is a sharp pencil and ink pen and plenty of notebook paper, because some noteworthy things are going to be said about the science of your health and you. You're going to learn about you, and you're going to learn about all the systems that Allah has created and comprised you of, and how to take care, sustain, and maintain that. That's each and every Tuesday, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. The science of your health and you with our very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam. And Wednesday, that's where we are tonight. Each and every Wednesday, it is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with our very distinguished esteemed host, Dr. Patricia Slaudine, joining yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And that happens each and every Wednesday, beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern, is 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, where we teach what is correct parenting from an Islamic perspective and how to reconstruct the destructive family life. So you definitely don't want to come back and bring a family member, a friend, a colleague, or a neighbor or a community member to each and all of these productions. And you just heard it live, the MGM Roundtable, hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed. As I always like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests inside the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, outside our community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. So I think next week we're going to have, I think, a doubleheader. I have to confirm that. So please stay tuned to IWDM Radio for an update on that, and that starts each and every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Last but not least, please don't forget the Muslim Journal, as it has been the lifeblood of our community for many, many, many years. And I think that next week we're going to have some representatives from the Muslim Journal and also the 2023 Time to Be Grateful in the new home, which is Newark, New Jersey. You want to go ahead and get registered for that. We support it here on IWDM Radio. And I want to thank our radio listeners, because without you, there wouldn't be IWDM Radio nor the production that you hear each and every day here on IWDM Radio. A special thanks goes to my engineer extraordinaire, that's Rashid Salam, always on the job, and also your guest tonight. So, last but not least, it's Salam.
Have you ever felt?
Salam alaikum.
Summer breeze, yeah. Have you ever tried to fulfill a want or a need? God is with you all the way. Brother, from birth to death, sometimes you never get a chance to get your breath. Work hard, brother, to save your very, very soul. Control. It's a struggle, brother. Heart and soul, a struggle, brother.
That's all, folks. Assalamu alaikum.